Hello, Internet! In today's very special episode of All of My Issues, episode number 6, Sam and I will be discussing the woes of growing up in the 80s and early 90s, all while providing a list of our top 5 movies that could have been comic book movies. Enjoy! Welcome back to our podcast. Today we're going to talk about movies that are like comic books. Back in like the 1980s, 90s, and stuff like that, before the plethora of superhero movies that are out now, we really didn't have many options for superhero films. But
nope.
Yeah, what we're going to talk about, though, is movies, if they were just slightly altered, or if you changed character names even, that they might actually be considered a comic book movie.
True.
So what we're going to do here is we each selected 5 movies. And we're going to go through each of our 5 selections one at a time. So Sam's going to go, and then I'm going to go, and then we'll go through our whole 5. And we'll see what we come up with.
Alrighty. I'll start it off. I'm going to go with my number 5. Now, this was one of my favorite movies in the 80s as a kid. By the critics, it wasn't really received well by the critics of the movie, but I loved it. It is Condor Man. Now this was a Disney movie. You guys got to understand.
Oh, that's right. It was a Disney movie.
Condor Man was a Disney movie, and it starred Michael Crawford and James Hampton. If you don't know James Hampton, he was the father in the Teen Wolf movies. So that's where I remember him from. So, and Michael Crawford, he was a. He's a British actor. So, basically, the synopsis of Condor Man is this kind of like cartoonist slash inventor. He makes this costume. He calls it Condor Man, and he makes all these gadgets and stuff. And he desperately wants to be a hero. And his friend, who's played by James Hampton, is kind of a CIA spy. So he asks Michael Crawford to help him with like a disguise or whatever to help a Russian spy who came onto our side to get to a destination that she needed to get to. And so after that happens, the government calls him again to do another job, and all of a sudden he becomes Condor Man and has to take on these very, very bad spies. So you got a cartoonist trying to outwit Soviet spies. So that is the synopsis of Condor Man, and I just thought, you know, that would have been a great comic book. I mean, it's got
all the elements.
It's got all the elements.
You know, that makes a superhero a superhero.
He has a costume.
Yeah.
He has a pretty cool car. Like, there's a if you ever get to see it, find it on YouTube or whatever, there's a car chasing scene with Condor Man and the bad guys, and it's pretty cool. Has a lot of adventure. So, you know, being a 7 or 8 year old kid watching Condor Man, you know, it's pretty exciting. So,
that's my
number 5.
Gotcha. That's a good selection. And the thing I think that's interesting about that is, you know, the elements that make that like a comic book movie are really the name and the title of the movie's Condor Man. So it's like whatever his power is, you know, dash Man at the end of it. I mean, you know, we got that Super Dash Man, Spider Man. So, you know, it's there. And the other thing that's interesting, I think, is Disney movie.
It is a Disney movie.
Disney owns Marvel.
Exactly.
So it's kind of almost like a precursor to their delving into the whole Marvel universe.
And even the like opening sequence of the title sequence is all animated. It is just as a cartoon Condor Man trying to fly in between the credits and keep crashing into people's names throughout the beginning of the credits. That was back in the day when they had, you know, the title and the movies and all the credits were rolling up before the actual movie started. So
gotcha. Yeah. No, I think that's an excellent choice. I think that's fantastic. The first one I selected is probably not as lighthearted as Condor Man, but I think it definitely has elements of superpowers in the movie, and you know, if you were to take it, you know, and adjust it slightly in such way that it could definitely be like a superhero or super powered, if you will, movie. And that movie is Carrie.
The
1976 film starring Sissy Spacek as the title character. Carrie, she's awkward teen kind of coming into her own. Going through changes.
Changes.
And as she's going through changes, she's learning that she has these powers, and you know, the long and short of it is that she has telekinetic powers.
Ooh.
You know, and so she can control things with her mind, and that's definitely something like a Jean Grey character type thing. You know, definitely right there. I'm not sure if there was ever any correlation between those two characters being kind of similar. They both have red hair, those types of things.
Possibly.
Know? But I always thought that was really kind of interesting that she has telekinetic powers. I mean, everything that happens to Carrie in the movie, you know, she is an outcast, kind of like how mutants are, you know, kind of put on to the, you know, being mistreated and everything by the rest of the normal society, if you will. So I always thought that was a really, really pretty close to like a mutant movie, if you will. You know, like a movie that had a character in it that had a mutant power. You know, so I mean, they could have easily changed the name Carrie to maybe Jean Grey. I mean, granted, I think the origin of Carrie is probably a little bit more, you know, a little bit more distressful than what Jean Grey ever went through in the comic books, but
they did, you know, almost wipe out a lot of people.
this is true. So that's my selection is Carrie. My first one. So
all right, my number four. It's a little off the beaten path, but I thought this was kind of like a superhero. Reno Williams, The Adventure Begins.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is another one of those, like, cult classics where, you know, Reno Williams basically is this guy who gets trained by this, like, martial arts master, and he's going up against different spies and whatever, and it kind of just reminded me of, you know, like, kind of an adventure of like a Daredevil slash you know, Captain, like a lower version of Captain America, because you know, he's not blind like Daredevil, but I mean, he is running from like explosive tanks that are like blowing up the forest as he's running through it, so you know, that's kind of Captain America Avenger-ish.
I can see that.
So and the fact that the adventure begins, I mean,
yeah. There you go. But there was never a follow-up, was there?
No, there was never a follow-up.
So it began, Where'd it go?
It didn't do anything. So we were like sitting there like, oh, so are we going to have another one if the adventure begins? Because it actually kind of ends kind of like somewhat of a cliffhanger where it's just like leaving you for the next episode and it never happened. So, Reno Williams, what happened, dude?
That's, man.
What happened?
The adventure began, but it never ended.
It never ended.
So... That's a good second choice. I can see that. Totally see why you picked that movie. The my next choice, also oddly enough, is also a movie based off of a Stephen King story.
Okay.
That would be Firestarter.
Oh.
1984, Firestarter, starring Drew Barrymore, hot off of. E.T., yeah. The Extraterrestrial, so it was like 2 years after that movie came out. And in this movie, she plays a young girl that has gained some sort of telekinetic ability. The ability to generate fire, basically, and control fire. She's a pyrokinetic, if you will.
Yeah.
And, you know, the premise of that is basically her parents participated in medical experiments and, you know, before she was born, and that from those experiments kind of created the powers that I'm sorry that Drew Barrymore's character had in Firestarter. Her name is Charlene in that movie.
Now wasn't her father kind of like, he was like telekinesis or telepath? He was a telepath.
Yes, I think so, yes.
He was a telepath.
Yeah, I believe so. It's been a while since I've seen this movie, but it's always been one of those movies where, again, you know, she has a superpower.
Right.
You know, she has the ability to control fire. And you know, and there's definitely been no shortage of characters in comic books that have the ability to control fire.
I mean, Human Torch.
Human Torch, exactly. Johnny Blaze. You know, if you will. And then there's also been
The Phoenix.
There's the mutant villain. I think his name is Pyro.
That's Pyro, yep.
So, and his powers are very similar to what Drew Barrymore's powers were in Firestarter.
Yep. Where,
you know, he controls fire, she controls fire. So that was my second choice.
And I think that movie, didn't that movie, like, inspire a song? A 90s song?
Oh.
Can you name that song?
Yes, I think I see which direction you're going. With this little bit of, you know, we can say it. Should we say it? I guess we probably should say it. We don't want to leave people hanging.
Yeah.
We didn't start the fire.
We didn't start the fire.
All right, Billy Joel.
All right. My number three movie.
Number three, all right.
Is Waterworld. Now, I know what you're saying. Waterworld was a disaster. And to be honest with you, if you look at the numbers of Waterworld, it actually made a profit, surprisingly. And as much as it's like one of Kevin Costner, as we consider Kevin Costner's not so good movies, Waterworld actually wasn't as bad as we thought it was when it first came out. I think with all the hype and everything, and then going to see it, you were kind of like, "Oh, is that it?" I think it had the same feeling of Last Action Hero, having a whole bunch of hype, and everyone's expectations kind of was already at the ceiling.
Yeah, because as I recall, I think it took quite a while for them to film that movie.
Yes.
and it was was that after Dances with Wolves?
That after was after Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, so I think he, you know, coming off of the success of Dances with Wolves, you know, expectations were probably really high for that, especially since, you know,
He had
time to make this movie. Yeah,
exactly.
So,
Kevin Costner, Dennis Hopper. Basically, it's about the world is covered with water. So everyone is either living on boats, basically living on boats. And Kevin Costner's character is somewhat of a mutant.
He's like they've evolved to have gills.
Yeah, he has gills.
Correctly, yeah.
They call him a merman, so he could breathe both on land and in the water. And
that sounds kind of like Namor, if you ask me.
That is Namor.
Or Aquaman. Pick your water-based superhero.
Exactly. And so, for me, I was like, hey, Waterworld fits perfectly. I mean, the people who don't have gills are searching for land. And basically, Kevin Costner's character is kind of like this, an outcast to us humans, I guess. He's kind of treated like, treated extremely different. They're like scared. It's like, oh wait, yeah, you're that guy with gills, and it's like I've never even seen that before. So I think that changing the name and maybe some of the situations is basically kind of like Aquaman or Namor there.
I could totally see that. Man, what if they got Kevin Costner to play Aquaman?
Honestly, I think that would work.
That could work.
I think that would work.
Yeah. Kind of, he's I would pay to see it.
But for some reason in my head, if he comes out of water, I have the song, and I will always love you. Okay. I can't really sing, but
That was a pretty decent attempt at Whitney, though.
I'll say that.
All right, I guess that brings me to my number three film. My number three film is a little bit different than probably the other movies we've discussed so far. Mine is actually part of a franchise, and not just any franchise, but the Friday the 13th franchise.
Whoa!
So,
okay.
And it's not the second film. It's not the sequel. It's not even the threequel, if you will. This is actually part 7.
Part 7. Can you guys realize that there were more than 3 Friday the 13th?
It goes on.
Yeah.
It goes on. And but this one, when I saw this as a kid growing up, I really loved this movie. And the whole title is part, Friday the 13th, part 7, The New Blood. Came out in 1988. And this film directly follows the one where the one character, Tommy Jarvis, chains Jason and has him basically go, sink underwater in Camp Crystal Lake. So, in this movie, though, what makes this a superhero film, if you will, is that there's a character, and her name is Tina Shepherd. And she, again, has, oddly enough, telekinetic powers.
No.
And, the ending portion of this film, if you will, the climax of it, if you will, is a battle between her using her telekinetic powers and Jason. So really it's a superhero super villain
matchup there.
They're right there. There classic. You go. So she's using her telekinetic powers to try to fight Jason's indestructibility, if you will. And it's a very good film. I really enjoyed it. It's one of the Kane Hodder Jasons.
Okay.
So it's Kane Hodder playing Jason. Also a fan of Kane Hodder as Jason. So this movie I really enjoyed it. And it's oddly enough, I think it's actually one of the first Friday the 13th movies I saw. And what I never really understood is they never really bring back that character that has telekinetic powers.
Right.
She's in this movie and I really think that's about it.
Yeah.
She never made another appearance in a Friday the 13th film. But, I really enjoyed that film. So that's my third choice.
Okay. A very good third choice. All right, we're getting down to the top two of our list.
Oh, man.
And my number two is The Twilight Zone, the movie.
Ah, Twilight Zone, the movie.
Now, there are several stories in the Twilight Zone, the movie that come into play. There's the famous one where there's the gremlins that are on the plane, and there were some other ones, but the one that stuck out to me was there was a story about this lady who her car stops, and she goes to this house to get help, and she finds this oddly family in the house, and they're just gonna welcome her in, and there's this boy who is so nice to her and everything, and she's trying to, you know, call for help and everything, and while she's sitting in the house, she realizes that the family's acting strange. Well, what ends up happening is the boy has these kind of powers that are kind of, it could change dimensions and change, basically, he has the will to do anything that he wants.
And like alter reality.
Alter reality and everything. And the people that are supposed to be his family aren't his family at all. They're just people who they got stuck and are trapped in this house because this boy wanted a family. And so these people are there against their will, and this woman finds out and realizes that this little boy has these powers. Now, this kind of reminded me of, you know, Franklin Richards, Reed Richards, and Sue Richards of the Fantastic Four, their child who has this about the same abilities. And also, as far as mentally, it kind of reminded me of Charles Xavier's son, Legend. And the fact that, you know, he has these powers, but his psyche is basically, I want to get my way no matter who I hurt. And a spoiler alert, you know, the woman actually convinces the young boy to let everyone go and that she will be his family. So at the end, her superpower was love.
No, so,
yeah, I know. I know. I kind of like cheesified that a little bit, but
I do remember the story you're talking about, because that's like part of that whole Twilight Zone movie where there was it was like kind of like an anthology where there's a bunch of little stories in it, and I love that. I love that movie. That movie's great.
It is a classic. So
yeah. All right. Well, I guess that brings us to my number two, which is, at first, I kind of confused this with another Steven Seagal movie. Yes, Steven Seagal. I said Steven Seagal.
He's back.
He is back. This movie, Out for Justice, I think this is essentially a Punisher movie before there was a Punisher movie.
Okay.
So let me just give you a little brief synopsis of this film. Basically it involves Steven Seagal's character known as Detective Gino Felino. Okay. Gino Felino. He is, you know, there's a gruesome murder involving him and basically his family. And they assume that he's killed, but he's not really killed. He's actually in a coma for a little while, and then when he awakens from the coma, realizes everything that's occurred, that his family is gone, that, you know, these people that attacked him and his family, they got away with it, at least up to that point. Until Steven Seagal went out for justice.
That's right.
So, you know, throughout this whole movie, after he awakens from the coma, there's this whole, like, training sequence where he's getting back into shape and getting prepared and getting ready for war, if you will. Like, Frank Castle, the Punisher, does. Yeah. You know, gets ready for war, you know, after finding out about his family. And again, very similar. Frank Castle's origin story is basically, you know, his family's murdered also, and he's also presumed dead, but isn't.
That's right. And he comes back.
Exactly, to the chagrin of many a villain, he comes back. And basically, that's the culmination of the stories. Stephen Skull comes back as Detective Gino Foligno and enacts vengeance on all of the people that had done him wrong.
The fact that his name rhymes.
That's the best part of it. Gino Foligno.
I'm Gino Foligno.
Exactly. And there's a couple other good actors and actresses in this film. William Forsythe is in it, and Gina Gershon plays one of the characters in it. So it's a good movie, and that's my number two.
That's your number two.
That's my number two.
All right. We are down to the number one movies. What could have been comic books or inspired by comic books.
That's right.
So
now, before there were comic book
movies. Before there were comic book movies. Now, I'm not gonna lie. My number one at the time was Firestarter, but you know, Rick had that on his list. But I thought of another movie that can also go on this list, and I changed this to my number one.
Oh.
All right. My number one movie is Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Oh, this is a very good selection right here. This is.
Because this to me was like my movie. As a kid, as a young black man, seeing The Last Dragon, because I loved Bruce Lee, I loved Chuck Norris and all the karate. So when Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon came out, it was like, this is awesome. And to me, this kind of signifies, this is where Dragon Ball Z got all its material from. Because
I could kind of see that. I could kind of see where because
you had it was martial arts. You had a young Leroy Green was the main was the name of the was the name of the character. The actor was Tomok. He only had a first name. He's like Madonna and Prince.
Oh man, come on!
And also start and here's some of the other cast members. Also starred Vanity. From Prince,
oh,
Prince
yeah, fame
and everything,
yeah, yeah.
And rest in peace, passed away, but had a huge crush.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, exactly. it had, you know what, a major actor who had like a small part was William H. Macy. He was in Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
Interesting.
Yep, he was JJ. There is Chaz Palminteri. He was in the movie. He was like he had a small role. He was like a hood or something like that. Mike Starr. He was Rock. He was like one of the bad guys in the movie. And Julius Carey. Now, if he was one of the main bad guys in the movie, and can you remember, Rick, what his name was? His character.
Oh, it was... Oh, my gosh. Now you're putting me on the spot here. It's,
Am I the meanest?
Yeah. Oh, what?
Am I the prettiest?
Oh, I can't say it wrong because I know... Oh, what the heck? All right, my mind is drawing a complete blank.
Shonuff.
That's what it was.
The Shogun of Harlem.
That's it. Shogun of Harlem. That's it.
So, for me, you know, watching this movie, you're like... All this karate and everything, these fight scenes going on, and throughout the time they're talking about this power called the glow.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what's the glow? And the last fight scene where
it's full on glow.
It's full on glow. Yeah. It's Leroy Green versus Shonuff.
Shonuff.
The Shogun of Harlem.
Kiss my Converse.
That's the line. That is one of the greatest lines ever.
Man, right there.
and so they both have the glow. One has the red glow, the evil glow, and the other one has the gold glow. And And the other bad guy was Eddie Arcadian. And he was played by Christopher Murney. I think I've seen him in some other things too back in the 80s. But he was Eddie Arcadian. And Eddie Arcadian was a guy who made his money through video games and arcades. So kind of like Arcade of the X-Men villain.
Oh yeah.
Shorter guy and everything, and he was very very controlling, and he was basically one of the masterminds that got Leroy Green and shown up to fight and everything. And so you had that bad guy, and you had the damsel in distress. You had superpowers where the both karate people are glowing and shooting. When they punch, they had fire coming out of their punches. It's like, this is Dragon Ball Z. So when, you know, later years, you see Dragon Ball Z and they like go Super Saiyan. I'm like, yo, that's the last dragon. So for me, number one, even with Firestarter, love Firestarter. But for me, Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon is the movie.
I could say that's a justifiable number one, Sam Stevens. That's, I have to say that I can even see where depending on what happens with the Iron Fist series on Netflix, I could see where there might be there's glowing powers in that as well. As far as the Iron Fist goes, I don't know. Maybe they won't portray it that way in the show.
Right,
having a glowing fist, but. Man, wouldn't that be cool?
I think that would be cool, and yeah. Hopefully they will pull it off.
That's what I'm hoping. I've got high hopes for that series because that's one of my favorite characters too. Is Iron Fist? I've always had a fondness for that character for some reason. But I guess that brings us to my number one, which this is really. Really, this could be a superhero movie. In fact, a superhero movie that will probably be out. Well, it is coming out in November. Doctor Strange.
That's right.
But before Doctor Strange, we had Dr. Mordred.
Whoa!
Yes. In 1992, a film called Dr. Mordred came out. And basically, it involved a sorcerer known as Dr. Mordred, who basically is essentially a sorcerer supreme, if you will, that protects Earth from, other evil dimensions trying to come in and invade Earth and just trying to protect it in general. Dr. Mordred, the title character, is played by Jeffrey Combs. He's been in Reanimator and a couple other films. Yep. He's been in a lot of the H.P. Lovecraft movies he's kind of been in. So he plays Dr. Mordred. The main villain, Brian Thompson, plays a character called Cabal. Brian Thompson, he's known for, he was the main villain in Cobra, and I think he was also in Mortal Kombat.
He was like the first baddie in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, he was. He was the first baddie in Buffy as well. Exactly. So, they had some really good actors and characters in this film, and rumor has it, and I don't know if this is actually true, and I don't know if there's really any way to actually track this down to see if this is true or not. But the rumor has it that this movie was originally supposed to be Doctor Strange, but they were unable to acquire the film rights for Doctor Strange to make it an actual Doctor Strange film. So instead, they changed some character names around, flip-flopped some things, and changed the name from Doctor Strange to Dr. Mordred.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that's my number one. So, I don't know. I guess one of the films that I kind of thought of, too, as we were kind of discussing these films, but I mean, it is a comic book movie, though. Really, is Flash Gordon.
Okay.
When you were kind of talking about fond movies, like Condor Man and all these guys. One of the movies that kind of came up for me was Flash Gordon.
Yes.
And especially ones like Remo Williams, where there was never, you know, as the adventure begins and there was never a sequel. That film, with the Queen soundtrack and everything, you know, it kind of ends on a little bit of a cliffhanger. You see that question mark at the end.
Right.
The end. Yeah. But nothing else ever happens with that film. And I always, growing up, I always wanted there to be a sequel to that movie because I love that movie.
Right. I think, didn't it do pretty good at the
It did. I mean, how could it? I mean, it is pretty cheesy. Watching it now for sure. What? Back then, I thought it was the greatest thing ever.
Exactly.
But
I love the Hawk guys.
Yes, those were my favorite characters as well. Those guys that die. You know, it's just a great film. The Queen soundtrack rocks the film. You know, it's like a 2-hour music video for Queen.
Yeah, that's
how
true.
Can you not love that?
Exactly. You play Flash Gordon, then you play Highlander, and then you got a whole Queen concert right there.
Exactly. That's it. So I guess, as you know, honorable mention, we'll give you Flash.
Flash Gordon.
All right. So I think that's all we got for today. All
right, yeah. Check out our website and our Facebook page.
Yeah, and the YouTube channel. And we're going to be posting this list on our website. So if you want to go and track down and look at these films and possibly watch them yourself and make your own decision based off of whether our opinions are worthwhile or not,
yeah,
you can judge for yourself.
If you think we missed something, let us know. Yeah. Give us your list.
There you go. All right. I think that's it.
All right. I'm out. That's Sam.
And this is Rick. Thanks for listening.
Bye.